Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Tulsi Gabbard is the director of national intelligence, and over these last days, Ms. Gabbard has made allegations that come down to this. During December of 2016, following the election of Donald Trump for the first time, the Obama administration's principal national security leadership came together to concoct an allegation that Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to win the election, and therefore everything else follows, including Russian interference. Andy McCarthy of the National Review Online and Thaddeus McCarter of American Greatness join me to comment on the assertion by the Director of National Intelligence and the story as we have watched it very carefully for, gentlemen, I have to now say we've been at this for 8 years. Andy, a very good evening to you. The concoction 8 years later. We're not surprised, but please reveal what it means concocted. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. You know, I think the best way to describe what happened here is that whether you call it a political dirty trick or there's a more severe term for it, the Obama administration had a legitimate reason to conduct a foreign counterintelligence investigation, not just in 2016, but really based on what we know from some of the materials that have been disclosed, going back to 2014, because there were legitimate concerns of Russian attempts to infiltrate our election system. They were conducting reconnaissance of it. They were looking for weak parts in the system. The intelligence community ultimately concluded that they didn't actually do anything in 2016 that would have changed any votes. But there was a lot of concern that they were up to no good. And there have been findings unanimously across the intelligence community that Russia did try to meddle in the 2016 election, which isn't surprising. The Soviets did it going back decades. We do it to them as well. And that they did try to denigrate, that's the word they used, Hillary Clinton. But that was with the expectation that Hillary Clinton would win. That doesn't necessarily mean they were trying to help Trump. So they had a legitimate cover reason to do an investigation. And what they did was, with that structure, they pretextually invented or manufactured this faux conspiracy that claimed that Trump and Putin were in cahoots. And it was that angle of it, I think, that was a perversion of the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus. The reason it works as a dirty trick is because they had a legitimate reason to do it.
That is, you have a question for Andy.
Andy, a wise man once taught me that all political abuses of power or malfeasance of office do not necessarily have a criminal remedy. Is that what we're starting to look at in this instance?
Yeah, I really think that is. We've probably talked about that 100 times over the last 8 years in discussions about this. I think it's very hard. I thought this in connection with with the investigations of Trump as well, where I thought that, Jack Smith really pushed the statutory envelopes in trying to come up with some crime that he could charge Trump with on the basis of, Trump's presidential activities, which this system, to get directly to the point you're raising, I think our constitutional system, the check on abuse of executive power is given to Congress. It is not for courts and prosecutors to be the check against that. And to the extent that there was any curiosity or any difference of opinion about that, I think the Supreme Court settled it in the Trump decision that they made two terms ago now. And that's why I've been a little flabbergasted, if I was going to take any of this stuff seriously, to hear the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, say that she's referring Obama for potential criminal prosecution under circumstances where Trump spent all of 2024 telling everyone that presidents have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for their official actions within the ambit of executive power.
My understanding of your summary, Andy, is that the twist that was necessary was to say Putin wanted Trump to win and they were working together. That was the twist. And you recall for 8 years, I would have to say that the idea here was that Mr. Trump is a stooge of Vladimir Putin personally. That was the trick that the Obama administration principals entered into in December and January of 2016, 2017. Is that correct?
I think that's right, John. We discussed the book that I wrote, Ball of Collusion, about this in 2018, which had Obama's role in this, which I think he was complicit in it up to his neck. But my book had this all 8 years ago. But I think the one widening, I guess, of the aperture that I would add to what you just said is I think we know a lot more about the role of the FBI from 2016 going forward than we know about the role of the CIA from around 2016 going backward. My theory in my book, and I still believe this is true, is that Brennan, who was the head of the CIA, John Brennan, was probably the prime mover of the Russiagate. I don't know if hoax is the right word, but the Russiagate narrative that Trump would be, a dangerous president because he was potentially in cahoots with the Kremlin. I think that Brennan has a lot more to do that. And maybe historians will figure that out 50 years from now. The thing is that intelligence, when you're talking about foreign intelligence, Brennan is dealing with the top echelon of foreign intelligence services. Intentionally, that's all classified and there's not a paper trail for it, et cetera. Whereas with the FBI, in order to use their national security authorities, they have to go to court. They have to put things down on paper. There's a lot more paper trail. And I think we shouldn't be deluded by the fact that we have a lot more information about the FBI than we do about the CIA, that means that the FBI was more culpable. I think probably the problem that Durham had in his investigation was that it's very hard to investigate the CIA in a way that it's not with respect to the FBI.
Thaddeus, you have a comment or question?
Well, Andy, this is making things very difficult at this point in time to look at, say, the 2020 election to see whether there was communist Chinese interference in that election, because we're looking all the way back. There may or may not be the ability to bring criminal charges against anybody. And eventually the public starts to tune out, whereas the Grassley Committee is actually looking at some things regarding the 2020 election. This can be a case of cutting off your nose to spite your face on a far more pressing issue at this point in time, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. And the other thing I would say about it, Thaddeus, is in terms of them being the boy who cried wolf, so to speak, our government, there's a long history of Russian and Soviet interference in American politics. There's a long history of American interference in Russian politics and also politics of other great nations. This is what nations do, especially if they have capable intelligence services. And I think the history of it is that it's been pretty ineffective stuff. And happily, we have an election system that's very hard to penetrate because it's so diffuse. And what I worry about is that the government has taken things like Russian interference in the 2016 election, which turned out to be a bunch of nonsense that didn't end up making a difference. And it has used that as a pretext to ramp up its monitoring of free speech and what used to be regarded as campaign or electoral activity. And I think people are, you know, people are understandably annoyed and upset about that, to the point that then you have somebody who's capable like China, which really could actually come in and do something damaging. But people's guard is down because they don't take our government seriously. They think they exaggerate all of these threats.
What so, in short, Andy, the Red Scare was turned inward back around 2016 against Trump and those individuals. And at this point in time, the ability of the Chinese communists to do something in 2020 or beyond through either cyber espionage or false driver's license, et cetera, is in serious and grave danger of being overlooked or not heeded because of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I am confident that our election system, because of it's a federalist system and because it's diffuse, would be difficult for a foreign adversary to penetrate. But I also think China's got very capable intelligence services. And in terms of its fiscal status, it's much more of a challenge for us in many ways than the Soviet Union was. And if they're going to attack us, I worry that they're going to attack us in other ways besides our election system.
One detail about the conduct of December 16 and January 17. The principals whom we're discussing knew that the Steele dossier was hokum. Correct, Andy?
Well, yes. I think that what Brennan would tell you is that he never saw the Steele dossier until after the election, until December of 2016, when they started to put together this intelligence community assessment. And at that point in time, he was pushing for inclusion of the dossier in the assessment, not because he had read it and analyzed it, but because Comey wanted it and he wanted to support Comey. I think that's what he'd say.
And did they, in your measure now, did the principals who met in January in the White House, did they know the Steele dossier was hokum? Did they all know that?
Well, I would say this, John. We know, and we've discussed this before, that the Bureau, which had the dossier from the middle of 2016, and the Bureau agents who were investigating Crossfire Hurricane, who say they got it in September of 2016, they didn't do anything to try to corroborate it until late January of 2017, which to me is about as irresponsible as it gets. And I think we can infer that they knew it was hokum by the fact that they didn't do the rudimentary things the Bureau always does to try to verify information.
Andrew McCarthy of National Review Online, that is McCarter, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.